Good morning, everyone. You know, when you hear children crying or making some noise, those are the sounds of life, right? Those are sounds of life. And so I just want you to know that I am not annoyed or bothered by the fact that we have children like in this. And the reality is, when you have children, sometimes they're going to cry. And sometimes they're going to spill some lemonade. But, you know, that's all part of having children around, you know. And then and I personally feel that a dirty carpet is a small price to pay to raise up a child in the Lord. So today's message, and I won't keep it too long. Today's message is, how green are your pastures? How green are your pastures? I want to read to you from Psalms 23, verse 1 and 2. I know you already probably know it by heart, but I'm going to read it anyway. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And perhaps this passage being maybe one of the most well-known psalms of all scriptures, this scripture starts off by saying that that God is our shepherd. Do you think you can get the slideshow going for me, please? Thank you. And it continues, which means if God is our shepherd, what does that make us? It's sheep. The green pastures, which is the food for the sheep, as well as the dwelling place for the sheep, most people assume when they read this passage that the green pastures represents, is a metaphor for prosperity, for the richness of God's blessing, and even a symbolic of an absence of pain and suffering. But we're going to look at this morning whether that is the correct interpretation, if that's a correct assumption. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, as I share in your word, may you place the words upon my lips. Lord, let me not speak one word that is untruthful, Lord. But this thing we call preaching is not done by the cunningness of an individual or the eloquence of his or her words. But Lord, the preaching is truly done through the Holy Spirit. So Father, I want to ask that your Holy Spirit will be abiding in me and that he will speak through me, but not for me only, God. I ask that you will bless this congregation and those who are listening. May the Holy Spirit work on each individual as you see fit. Lord, bless us as we study your word. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to tell you, share a little bit about myself. I was born in the city of Seoul, which is in South Korea, and I'm a U.S. citizen, but long ago, I was actually born in South Korea. And I was there until the age of 6. My family lived in a very, very modest one-room apartment. And when I mean one-room apartment, there was only one room in the apartment. It wasn't a bedroom. It was just one room. And this one-room apartment had a community kitchen and a community outhouse shared by several families. In fact, when I moved to the States, I never had even seen a flushable toilet, and I had no idea what it even was. And this one-room apartment, it was literally one room. During the day, that one room became our living room. And when it was time for meals, we would pull out these low-lying Korean tables, and they're almost to the ground. And when we set that up, that would be our dining room. And at nights, we would clear away that stuff and then pull out the blankets from our linen cabinets. We didn't even have closets, from our linen cabinets, and we slept on the floor all together. At the time, I distinctly remember that one of my favorite foods in the entire world, someone to ask me at that time, if you would have one meal or one piece of food, what would it be? And my answer would be bananas. I love bananas. And long ago in Korea, bananas were in short supply, and so they were quite expensive and somewhat rare. So whenever I got the rare occasion to eat a banana, I felt like I was taking like part of ambrosia or some kind of nectar of the gods. It was like a lifetime experience, and it would be like the highlight of my day. And growing up in Korea, we had heard stories and rumors of how awesome America was. I heard that in America, you can eat as many bananas and chocolate as you wanted. We had an aunt who had actually lived in New Jersey, and she would send us some gifts now and then of chocolate and some other goodies. And this only seemed to confirm our suspicion, confirm our rumors that America was the land flowing with milk and honey. The land of the plentiful, where everyone was well off. And to a child's mind, it seemed like a land of fairy tales. When I was six, my parents one day took my sister and myself aside, and they said, "We're moving to America." To that same aunt, we had obtained a green card, and we were moving to the States. And I could hardly believe it. And I thought to myself, when I get there, I'm going to eat all the bananas that I want and all the chocolate that I want. My sister heard that we were moving to America, and she had heard that in America, people slept on beds. And so she wanted to practice sleeping on beds. So you know what she did? She took our linen cabinet, and she stacked some blankets yay high, and she literally slept on those blankets in the cabinet because she was practicing to sleep on a mattress. Of course, me being younger, I thought that was like the coolest thing. I was like, I want to do that too. So the next time, I took my turn sleeping on top of that makeshift mattress in that linen cabinet. And that cabinet was probably not even this wide, right? But that was us practicing to sleep on an actual bed. And I remember landing in JFK Airport, New York City. And I clearly remember it was nighttime. And I remember thinking that the stars were unusually bright that day. Maybe it was because it was a different part of the world. Maybe it was my perception. I don't know. But I just remember thinking that the stars were really bright that day. We had arrived in the promised land, and this was our green pastures. And the next day, you want to take a guess what I asked to eat? Bananas. You guessed it, bananas. And my aunt went out and bought a bunch of bananas, but the problem was they were so very green, right? And those of you who know have tried green bananas, it's not tasty at all. And my aunt warned me, hey, look, I was about to eat one, but my aunt warned me, look, these aren't ripe yet. You should probably wait a few days. And for me, I was like, a few days? That seemed like an eternity. And so I chose not to believe her. And I took that banana, I peeled it. It looked pretty good. It looked fresh. But when I bit into it, it was so tart that I had immediately spit it out, only to find out that what my aunt was saying was true. This was the first of my many disappointments when I had come to America. But what I didn't know as a child was that, yes, America may be, the United States of America may be a land flowing with milk and honey, but in order to get that milk, you need to milk the cow. And in the attainment of honey, sometimes you get stung by the bees. And it hurts. My parents arrived with only $100 to their name. And life was tough in the beginning. We lived in a two-bedroom apartment, which was a huge upgrade in many ways. but it was also not in the best part of town. Do you know that I was only mugged one time in my life, and that was when I was in the first grade, living in this two-bedroom apartment. Walking home from school, one of the older kids actually tried to steal money, and luckily I didn't have any. But that was my experience growing up. The first year in the States, I remember one neighbor, when she discovered that we had moved here from Korea, she kept on asking to see the inside of our apartment, and we can kind of figure out why she wanted to see it, but we kind of like figured out later on. You see, the reason why she was so desperate to look at the inside of our apartment is that she assumed that when we moved here from Korea, that we had brought our rich cultural heritage of Oriental furniture and decorations from Korea. And she relented so much that she asked us so much that we eventually relented, and we showed her the inside of our apartment. And to our disappointment, she only saw some humble secondhand furniture that we had bought in the States. Life was tough. My parents didn't speak the language, and we didn't even have that much money, and we didn't know a lot of people. So life in the States was tough for us. We had arrived in our green pasture, but it was not at all what we had imagined it to be. And today I wonder if we, as Christians, if we have similar expectations of God. We expect our own version of our green pasture with some expectations that may not be what God has intended. The psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." You know, the New Living Translation puts it this way. "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful storms." Let me tell you, I know I have made Jesus my shepherd, but I don't know about you, but I still have wants. I still have needs. I still have bills to pay. I have experienced my own disappointments, sorrows. I have experienced racism. I have experienced injustice. I still have wants. And it doesn't really feel that God has led me to green pastures, right? There is this promise, green pastures, yet I don't feel like God has led me there. God, I have made you my shepherd, but where's my green pasture? Where is this promised land, this land of plenty? And if this is my green pasture, it really doesn't feel all that green. In fact, I think we can say we're all of us are in a similar boat, right? If we're really honest with ourselves, our pastures doesn't really feel that green at times. Isn't that right? Is your pasture always green? Probably not. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." When you imagine a green pasture, this is probably what you have in mind, right? A land like, as far as the eye can see, just lush green grass everywhere, right? Like there's not a weed in sight. Like it's just green everywhere. So maybe some rolling hills of dark green grass, or maybe like this one, right? This is a field for sheep, and there are grass as far as the eye can see. You know, I actually did a Google search, and I typed in green pastures. And this is a return that it's maybe hard to see, but every single one of those paints a picture of lush green grass, very flourishing with life. I mean, it seems to be paradise. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." But tell me, if your life has been nothing but unending lush green pastures, that is just not the case. I'd be lying to you if I said I have never struggled with something in my life, that I have never experienced disappointment because I'm following Jesus. I face new challenges every day. And we often wonder, God, you have promised green pastures. When will I find myself there? But this morning, I would make a declarative statement that God has not broken his promise, but rather our understanding of the promise is broken. I don't think we understand this passage as God has intended. Would you actually like to see the actual photo of green pastures? Because when the Bible mentions green pastures, there is a specific place that David was referring to. It was called Midbar, right? Would you like to see a picture of it? This is it. Wilderness Midbar. Now, I'm going to remind you, this is not a black and white photo. This is actually a color photo of the wilderness Midbar, what we refer to as green pastures. And it's not seasonal. This is how it is. Does that look green to you? It doesn't look green to me. But if you notice, there are some lines going across the field. Those are tracks laid down by when the sheep or the cattle or whatever the goats the herd went through. As they graze, they leave those trails behind. And you're probably asking yourself, how in the world can David call that green pastures? How in the world can we call that green pastures? Did you know in local Eskimo dialect, there's more than 40 words for snow. There's one word for soft falling snow. There's another word for snow that's like driving, good for driving sled. There's another word for snow that's granular. And so in another Eskimo dialect, there's over 52 words for snow. In the Hebrew, there are actually many words for the word grass. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. So there's another slide of wilderness Midbar, and there's the goats and whatnot feeding on something or another. And in that photo, it looks like they're literally eating rocks, right? What are they eating? The key to understanding this verse, the key to understanding this verse is this. When the Bible talks about he makes me lie down in green, that word green is a very specific word in the biblical Hebrew. The word is desheh, right? And it literally means, it's very specific in the sense that it literally means new green grass, but specifically fresh dew-soaked grass that sprouts in the morning. Fresh, dew-soaked grass that sprouts in the morning. Although this place is arid and dry, and as you can imagine, not much is able to grow. But you know what this place has a lot of? Rocks. Tons and tons of rocks. Small rocks, large rocks, medium-sized rocks, you name it, they're everywhere. And every morning, when the wind blows in warm moisture from the sea, the moisture condenses on that cool rock. And little by little, droplets start to form. And those droplets just trickle down to the base of the rock. And that is just enough to raise a little patch of thirsty grass. Just a small bunch. It's not everywhere, but from rock to rock, you will find small patches of green grass. And each day, the shepherd, when he takes him through the so-called green pastures, it's not grass everywhere. The shepherd guides the flock through the dry hillside, and the sheep go from rock to rock, finding just a mouthful of grass at a time. It's not enough for a whole meal, but just enough for a mouthful. And guess what? The shepherd continues to lead them to the next rock, and they get another mouthful. And this is how they survive each day, one mouthful at a time. And that is actually why David called this place green pastures. Not because it's full of grass, not because it's unending grass, because there was enough grass to support life, to feed his flock. It was never a lush, green, unending grass, but rather sparse patches of grass and here and there. And it's day by day, as the sheep trust in the shepherd, that he leads them to find green grass, one mouthful at a time. Rock to rock, step by step, day by day, the sheep move to find one patch of grass at a time. You see, God never promised us to bring us to a place where we have no need whatsoever. But rather, God has promised us that if we trust in him, that he will lead us to green grass step by step, day by day. It is never a promise that he will take us to the place where there we will never have any need, no pain, no suffering, at least not in this world. But day by day, moment by moment, as we trust in Jesus, he leads us to patches of green grass. Which ultimately tells us this. When David spoke of the green pastures, it was not a final destination, but he was referring to a continual walk. And it is as the good shepherd that leads, just like the good shepherd leads his sheep to green pastures and to, leads us into this Greek Hebrew word, the shed. Similarly, God leads us into our own green pastures. One patch, one blade of grass at a time. God leads us day by day, one step at a time. And he provides for us day by day, step by step. And I know, humanly speaking, this is what we want. We want God to lead us to a place where there's lush, green, unending field of grass. Everything that we need is provided for. All the food, shelter, whatever you need, it's there. Like, you don't have to move a muscle. Where we wouldn't need anything. Where we would have no worries, no pain, no suffering. Nothing to worry about. A place where we have no more needs forever. But the reality is, as long as we live in a sin-filled world, that place does not exist. That green pastures that you might be thinking of does not exist in this sin-filled world. Now, that doesn't mean that will never exist, right? Because we have the promises of not just heaven, but the new earth, where the new earth will be recreated into paradise. So it will exist then. But as long as we're living in a sinful, sin-filled world, that place does not exist. In the desert, the shepherd will get you what you need right now. Just enough. In that way, we are to put our trust, our faith in God, not one time, but each and every single day, moment by moment, step by step. The green pastures that God leads us is not a destination, but it refers to a continual daily walk with the shepherd. When the disciples asked Jesus to pray, Jesus states, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us your weekly bread." Is that what it says? Your daily bread. Daily bread. The disciples desire that. We know their ambitions, right? They wanted a mighty earthly kingdom right then, right? Like, they wanted that kingdom. They wanted Jesus to be at the head of that kingdom. They want Jesus to be this powerful earthly ruler. And this was their, in the figuratively speaking, this was their green grass, right? This was their green pastures. This is what their hope, this is their dream. This was their green pasture. But we know that they were disappointed severely when Jesus was crucified on the cross and died. And they thought that their hopes and dreams were dashed. but we know there was more to that story, right? They eventually learned to trust daily, step by step. And they learned that being a part of the kingdom, the part of being a disciple, to be a part of God's kingdom was far more fulfilling and far more amazing than any being a part of any mighty earthly kingdom. God's kingdom was so much more than the earthly kingdom. As for me and my family, when we moved here to the States some 40 years ago, we were disappointed at the reality of life. Maybe I was a little too young and naive to fully understand that, but in hindsight, I get that now. And we found some, but the thing is, even though we were greatly disappointed, we found something far more worthy and far more amazing. It was here in the States that we found Jesus. In Korea, my family really had no faith that we practiced. I remember going to a church a few times, but honestly, I never wanted to go back because I had no idea what the sermon was going on at church. No one told me, and that message felt like 5 hours. I'm not even exaggerating. And so after that first time, I was like, I never want to go back to that place. My mother at one point wanted my sister to be a nun, a Catholic nun, not because she was religious, but because of the financial security it provided. But when we moved to the States, in many ways we felt so lost, not knowing people, like just out of place. But one day, seemingly out of the blue, God sent a Korean Adventist pastor to visit my relative next door. And upon learning that my mother had just moved from Korea, and my dad had already found a job, he was at work, and we were off at school, the pastor invited my mom to the Adventist church. And my mom took myself and my sister to a church as a family, probably for the first time. And it's here at this church we truly experienced who Jesus was. It was at this Korean Seventh-day Adventist church that I learned the love of the fellowship of believers, and it was here that my family found salvation in Jesus. So in hindsight, we did not find our green pastures that we were thinking of. And we realized it wasn't a physical destination. It wasn't the United States of America. And it wasn't eating all the bananas that I wanted. But our green pastures... Oh, sorry, it wasn't even about finding a good job or finding a nice house. But we recognized that our green pastures was finding Jesus. That our green pasture was walking with Jesus daily. My prayer is that just as the sheep trust in the shepherd to provide, day by day, moment by moment, may we too learn to trust our Lord in each step that we take. And may we walk with Jesus daily. God bless you guys.